we didn't learn about any of that, and that's real stuff.
I'm Austin.
I'm Kenny.
And I'm Cloud.
And this is We Watch.
Today's movie is The Current War. The Current War is a 2017-2020 historical drama film directed by Alfonso Gomez Rejon, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Shannon, Catherine Waterson, Tom Holland, Tuppence Middleton, Matthew McFadden, and Nicholas Holt. How about a plot synopsis?
Is that me?
I think so.
Alright, plot synopsis. Well, nobody had electric before, and, or everything was kind of starting out, and, Edison had his, direct current going, and pretty much everybody was telling him that the other one was better, and he didn't want to go with that, because he already spent all his time on this, and, AC ended up basically winning out anyway, even though he wouldn't give up on it and tried, and basically he was a dick, and yeah, that's about it. He was a dick, and Tesla got screwed
a lot
by everybody, and a lot we didn't learn in school.
And that's even if it's true. Like, I don't know how much of this is supposed to be 100% historically accurate or stuff that's been slightly altered for dramatic effect. And the reason I pull this up is because, like...
Well, everything is slightly altered for dramatic effect.
I'm just saying, like, specifically...
Even documentaries are altered for dramatic effect.
That is true.
Yeah.
Like, the whole, like, his wife dying, he's like, I've got to go to New York tonight. And then, like, the guy's like, yeah, don't hang around. Like, you should be back pretty soon. And then it's, like, that night kind of thing. She's just dead. And I'm like, all right, so I have no idea the content, how time's working. All right, I thought this was supposed to be the real world, but obviously he was gone for, like, 7 years. But his children never grew up, but she died. Like, her brain just went to mush.
Dead.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? So, like, that's something I was like, I don't know exactly what happened to his wife that actually caused her to die in the context of real life compared to how it's actually portrayed here.
Well, there is a book that I've had in my Audible wish list for, I don't know, several years, that's called Empires of Light, Edison, Westinghouse, Tesla, and the Race to Electrify the World. And I just had not bought it and read it for just, like, various reasons. And then we had the trailer for this movie when I worked at the theater. And then it didn't come out. But because I knew it was coming out, I was like, I'm going to put off reading the book and I'll watch the movie first. And then I'll read the book after and see. And so I can just, like, I know some about the history of it. But so I'm not just being like, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. That's not what happened. And then, like, I can go and, like, check it out after the fact. And then it didn't come out because it was being produced by the Weinstein Company. And then the Weinstein Company disappeared as a result of what happened. And so it was just kind of floating around, not existing, sort of. And it had screened at a festival, at the Toronto Festival, and was not very well appreciated.
Which I can believe.
But it's not the version that we saw, and I'll explain that a little more. But the studio apparently was meddling around with it and, like, demanding this and that. And so it was kind of a mess. And also it was early. The director even admits that screening it at the festival was early and it wasn't really done yet. But then people were like, what? And then it turned out to not come out anyway. And then it did come out sort of in Europe before it could really be stopped, even though it still wasn't really finished or right. And then it went on the shelf when the Weinstein Company went away in 2017. It was supposed to come out in November of 2017. And then it didn't. And then it turned out Martin Scorsese was an executive producer of it. And it turned out that because he's Martin Scorsese, he had a clause in the contract that allowed him to approve final cuts of the film before release. And so, like, him and the director got the idea, like, this isn't what it should be, but we think it can be better. And so when it was finally, like, bought by a different company to be released, he exercised his final cut clause and let the director have some more, and they, like, they raised some money and they did like one day of reshooting to add some extra stuff that they realized they needed, mostly just like little character stuff, and then did a whole bunch of sitting and looking at it and editing, and which came after 3 years, 2.5 years of it not coming out and just sort of sitting around thinking about it. And so they had some ideas, and it was re-edited. And then that's why this version, and if you get the DVD, it says director's cut on it. That's why, because it's to distinguish it from the original cut that was what people saw before and what released in the UK for a little bit. It didn't stay out very long. And wasn't particularly well liked, but it's like 10 minutes shorter than it was. There's a bunch of like indulgent businessing around with like long master Steadicam shots and things that scenes that were great scenes by on their own, but didn't really like, but just brought the whole film to a stop when they happened in the context of the film and little bits of things that they reshot. And so it's a, it's the best they could do now, and it's supposedly from people who have critics who were at the festival and who have seen the other version, better, significantly better than it was, even if some of them still think it's not the greatest thing ever. It is better, which makes me really like, I would really like if we got the other version in a viewable way, so that we could compare them, just because there is this complicated history to the release of it.
Yeah, I noticed when I went to rent it, because I just put it, it was just easier to rent it for a couple bucks than to, because I could just watch it right on the TV, and it was, and it said director's cut, and I kind of wondered, I was like, that's weird for the, like, the rental version to be the director's cut, but I didn't know the history behind it, so I guess it makes sense.
So, they try to make Edison likable?
Well, sort of. I mean, he's immediately unlikable because he's not very nice to everyone and he doesn't stop for dinner with Westinghouse. But then his wife dies.
Yeah, that was a dick move.
even though it was a dick move,
people
like,
are just dicks.
Yeah, like the way that he treated his family and the way that he was like working with people, like you could see he's like he's a real business guy and like he's not that bad. It's just he's really fast and he's like eccentric and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, okay, they're trying to make us like him. And then it's just like, yeah, he's kind of a dick, but you know, most people like this are going to be dicks regardless. And then it's just like, all right, but see, now we're going to make him a little sympathetic because his wife's died. And, like, there's all these things that's about his personality that are, like, positive things. And I'm just sitting back here and be like, yeah, I know some of the stuff behind, I know some of the stuff behind Edison. And I'm like, all right, you ain't telling me the whole thing, but I'm listening. And it's just like, I still can't like him even when they try. And I know it's not their fault because it's like, hey, we're basing this off of a real person that people kind of hate. Because he did horrible things, and it's just like, yeah, well, please like him for this movie a little bit. And then it's just like, no, you didn't even do a good job making me want to like him.
Well, they know this, though.
And it's just like, wow.
but it's sort of unavoidable. Like,
yeah.
Edison really is like late 1800s Steve Jobs. Like,
yeah.
didn't really invent as many things as he claimed to, even the things that he did have a hand in, because he had a lot of people who worked for him, and it was a like a big collaborative thing. He had ideas, and then he was like part of what made them possible, but there were a lot of other people involved too. And then other times he just outright stole things from other people and was then like angry and sue happy when they didn't just want to buy it from him, one of which is the telephone, which, you know, Alexander Graham Bell didn't really invent the telephone either. Maybe there was another guy, there was another patent in the patent office at the same time in the U.S. patent office, and there seems to be some amount of evidence that he knew the patent clerk that was processing the applications at that time, and that because of this, his application was moved up in the stack of applications to be processed so that it was processed before the other guys. And then it was also being independently invented in Europe at about the same time. And as far as we can tell, no one talked to each other or saw anybody else's work. And so it was being independently thought of by various people at about the same time, which the light bulb was as well. But then Edison was like, I'm going to just like outright steal the design for the telephone and start producing it for Western Union because they're the big telegraph company. And he did. And then Bell was like, I have patents, and sued them and won. And so got a stop put to that. But Edison was still always very angry about it. And they hint at that here where he talks about the telephone.
Like, listen, you lost this. Like, all right, like we can't let this happen again.
But he's a big personality, and he's demanding and doesn't appreciate his family very much except for sometimes, and he drives his people really hard and has big bursts of anger, and he's really very, very Steve Jobs
kind of a dumbass.
Well, that, yeah.
And has there ever been a review about this just to see if like how much based in fact it is? Because the big problem I have with pretty much any movie or show or anything that's, you know, based on a true event, inspired by true events, like anything that's
based on certain
anywhere
facts.
Near events that actually happened, I always kind of get annoyed with it because I don't know where it's being made up and where the facts are.
Yeah.
Unless I, you know, obviously independently do the research, but that's
well, I'm going to read the book
for me.
Now that we've seen the movie, and I will report back in, you know, probably in the, maybe not the next episode, but maybe the one after that when we have the facts. The things that I know about the history seem like they're not really, like they're compressing things somewhat here and there to make it seem like things are closer together so that they can have two parallel things happening in the story at the same time. But I don't think they're really outright making up very much. I think they may just be moving events around a little bit to construct the story. It's not like, you know, we had this very early on in the history of the show in the third episode, which is technically the fourth recorded episode, but with Captain Phillips, where it's totally bogus.
Yeah.
like Captain Phillips was an Edison without the like smart part of it. Like, he was just not nice to anyone and was a coward and is the opposite of the way that he's portrayed by Tom Hanks. And it's a really well-made movie, and it's a really compelling movie, and it's tense and all that, but it's just false. And so, like, I don't think we're dealing with that here. I don't think this is just lying to us for outright dramatic purposes.
Unless
that's what I always
really
wonder,
was
because
dead.
When it comes to that, when it comes to those type of things, I just end up saying, you know what, if it's based on true events or anything like that, I don't even want to see it. Like, if there's a documentary, I'll watch the documentary where there's a compilation of actual stuff that happened. When it comes to inspired by true events, you know, I'm like, well, what if I'm like, oh, this dude's a dick, or in the Captain Phillips one, oh, what a great guy, and then you actually read about it, I'm like, oh, no, he's an asshole, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
well,
I was that's lied dumb. To. Like, what? Well, I would rather take something that's based off of true events than something that's inspired by true events.
Yeah, well, inspired by true events.
Well,
is
yeah,
just
inspired
like
means like
bogus.
the name is real.
Yeah,
no, like
maybe.
No, I'm talking about like a family drove off of a bridge into a river and died, and that inspired me to write this story about a monkey.
Yeah, well,
it's inspired by true. It's not based off of anything things, that's true.
You know, things like that. Well, I mean, the
you're watching like some space movie inspired by true events. Well, I had a dream that was true.
What? Yeah,
inspired.
It's inspired.
Yeah, it was inspired by the true dream I had.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's always probably the inspired by thing is always. Always proud. I mean, sometimes even when something says like based on the best-selling novel, it's like, wait, it's not.
No.
Well, you know, something like The Running Man is like, this is not the same at all. Yeah. Like, it's not the same at all.
Someone and looked at the cover and then read the back and then like, yeah. I can write a script.
And
for
so
this.
Like, you could say like, oh, it's based on the Stephen King story, and it's like, well. In the vaguest possible way.
There were a couple of children.
Yeah,
it's based on it.
It's based on it because the main character's name was Dave in the book.
Yeah, yeah.
And the main character in the movie, his name is Dave.
Yeah. Sometimes that's about the amount that you have. I mean, and then, you know,
I've read that book twice. I still can't find the scene where Dave's on the speedboat. Like, that was my favorite scene in the movie. Like, why can't I find it in the book? Is it missing some pages?
You can you can swing totally the other way to something like Dragnet, where it's like, we read the police files and we changed the names and that's all. And compressed it into something
to protect
tell
the innocent.
Yeah, the names. The story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You know, like, that's the far other
but
end.
But what about the guilty?
Well, the guilty... I mean, I guess we could expose the guilty, but...
Like,
but...
What?
You're only convicted guilty. It doesn't mean you're actually guilty in, like, an absolute way.
Except for the guy who killed his wife and then was fried.
Well, that's the... Like, that guy, like, hey, I just killed my wife. I guess I'll turn myself in.
Yeah, but, like, killed his wife and, like, bathed in the blood, apparently.
Yeah, well, okay, so the...
It was quite the splatter fest.
The actual guy...
Now, was that real? Was
yeah,
that real?
Yeah, the guy is real. And the actual guy did kill his wife and, like, cut her up into lots of little pieces. And so that's why there's blood everywhere. So the script had originally had a scene where you see him, like, hack up the wife. But then they never actually shot it.
Yeah, good, because that would have really thrown off the pacing.
Yeah, well, they
realized just like,
that,
wait, why is this random guy chopping up a woman?
Well, I mean, it seems a little random when he just suddenly appears in the movie at the police station, but it would have been much more extreme if we're suddenly watching someone hack up their wife.
Well, like, whenever he did show up, like, I had to go back and rewatch that scene.
You're like, wait,
because,
do we
like,
know him already?
Well, it's like, because, like, he was, like, covered in blood, and I thought he said they killed his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Who are they?
And I'm like, wait, why is this guy? I thought somebody killed his wife. And I had to go back, and it's like, oh, no, he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I got it now. I'm not dumb. I was just stupid.
Yeah. Which, like, when the guy goes to, the furniture dealer to buy the chair.
Oh, I love that scene.
To make the electric chair out of, and he's like, what about this kind? What about that kind?
He sits in it, and you can just see, like, the look on his face. Like, he's like, yay, we're going to fry someone today.
Yeah.
And he's like, just the one.
Yeah, just the one. Which, I mean, you can buy one chair if you want. I guess it's unusual, but it doesn't look like, I don't think you're going to buy a set of 12 of those for the big, you know, Bruce Wayne dining table or something. I don't know.
It is a very small chair.
It's a very unusual style of chair, which he says the name, which I can't remember, but he does seem like kind of surprised that he was like, oh, that style is what you want. Okay, I guess I can sell you one of those.
We want the most uncomfortable chair to sit in of all time.
Yeah.
For humane purposes.
Which the contrast to that is like Westinghouse on his train where he's got this ridiculous like embroider back, or not embroider, but like upholster back sofa that like is like floor to ceiling with like the back of it is this ridiculous sofa. Yeah.
Well, you know, comfort.
Well, yeah. I mean, it doesn't actually, like late 1800s furniture never looks comfortable to me.
No.
Like, it always looks like, oh, that's a lot of buttons and stuff that's not going to be as soft as if it was just soft.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm going to have to put my ass on this, and it's just going to be putting my ass on a whole bunch of balls on top of a cushion. No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think anything back then was meant to be comfortable. I mean, they don't have any sort of air conditioning, yet they all wear 9 layers of clothing.
Yeah, everybody's got suits and ties and hats and their collars are like stiff and tight and.
Now, see, I don't know about them city guys, but see, down here, sometimes I just have to wear the button-up shirt that my wife made me. I don't even button it up all the way. It gets really hot down here. And my son, the one without the shirt. No, the one on the left with the blonde hair. Yeah, him, like, half the time, they don't even wear shirts. They're covered in mud because they're down over by the creek. And my daughter over there, that's a hand-me-down dress that she got from her older sister. She passed away from the flu. The doctor said there wasn't anything we could do, but it's all right. My wife, she's right up there. She said that she wanted to do some painting. I think that's lead paint from China. But yeah, I don't even know
red
why.
Red paint's the cheapest, you know.
Yeah, and I don't even know why they wear so many layers of clothes. You do that over here, you just be soaked in sweat all the time, and you know, we can smell you from down the road. So at least we know you're coming.
They had to have had really good cologne back then, or just smelling terrible was normal.
Yeah, well, thing is that everything smelled terrible anyway. Because there was horse manure everywhere. When people were just riding around in horse carriages and stuff, you can read newspapers at the time when cars are just starting to come about and people are making comments on the state of life in the cities that could be improved by cars rather than horses. And there's like one particularly famously worded one that I think is talking about New York City. Get a rope, which is like, it's talking about the streets and the amount of manure and like horse urine everywhere. And it describes it as the city as having a rich equine flavor. And you can just imagine wow, that perfectly says, you understand what's happening.
It smells like shit.
It does.
It doesn't just smell like shit. It literally tastes like shit.
It does. You just walk around and you're just like, wow, there's a lot of horses around here. And it was really extreme. And so, the people also... But you do see when they were working in the factory with the dynamo trying to make the sewing machine work, they've got the collars unbuttoned and the shirt sleeves rolled up.
They are hot.
They're not working in their top hats in the factory there.
But I mean, I just, when they're all gathered in one room and when I know there's no air conditioning, I mean, I'm sitting in the house with the AC on and I don't want to be wearing all them layers.
Mm-hmm.
But just little things I think about, the movie is some of the things that happened just kind of, I mean, they kind of gloss over it because there's really no point in dwelling on it. But when he was messing with the little voice recorder thing and the dude's like, is that what I sound like?
Yeah.
It never really occurred to me that not that long ago, nobody knew what they sounded like to themselves. Like there was no such thing as recording here because of, technology that's like a common thing. There was toys based around recording yourself and everything, so there was never a time in our lives or even our parents' lives that there wasn't that ability to hear something. So I mean, that had to have been, I'm just trying to imagine the impact on how that would be to sit there and hear yourself back when nobody ever has before.
Yeah, nobody's ever heard themselves from the outside. You do sound, and it's still, even as long as we've had it now and as commonplace as it was, people still are not really used to it, that don't hear it in a commonplace way. People talk about how they hate the sound of their answering machine or voicemail message because they still, it doesn't bother us because we've been listening to ourselves through microphones for years now. And so we understand what we sound like and we it doesn't bother us anymore. But most people still don't have it, experience it in a commonplace way, and they're still so used to their voice in their own head that when they do hear it from the outside and they don't have their chest resonance and they think oh, is my voice really that high? Is that really what I sound like? Do I sound like I'm talking through my nose? And it's well, no, not, I mean, yes, I guess, but that's, we've never heard your voice the way you hear your voice, so we don't know any different. you know, you talk to me and I hear a tape of you, it sounds the same to me because I can't hear inside your head. But it, yeah, there are things like that where, I mean, all of those things, like,
I don't know if you want to hear what's inside my
head. I mean, and to be fair, like, we're, you know, we do processing on the audio for the show where it does sound a little more bass. There's a little more resonance, and that's just like, that's radio. We're not doing a, like, this is like reference of what our voice sounds like. If you were to hear us recorded as pristinely as possible, that's not what we're trying to do here. But there are things like that where you, like, you hear about when people saw really early motion pictures where there's like the famous the French one where the train just like comes into the station and it's just like, it's a camera on the side of the platform and it just the train pulls into the station and people are like running, like climbing over the backs of their seats in panic, reportedly, because they thought the train was going to run them over because they'd never seen something on a screen like that before. And that seems like maybe that's a little bit of a dubious claim, and maybe it is a bit overblown the way that, like, the War of the Worlds radio panic was. But maybe not. And, you know, there are all of these things that we don't really have any of those. Yeah, like, we have really giant world-changing things in our lifetime that mostly are internet-based. And other technology based, but nothing that's really, like, all of that is, most of what we have is derivative of something else. It's just a more extreme version. We don't really have any, like, no one has ever had a camera before. No one has ever heard their voice recorded before. We don't have those giant, we've never had light that didn't come from a flame. So we don't have those giant leaps the way that people did mostly during this time. Everything happened in the 1800s.
Yeah, I think I was trying to think of what it would compare to, and like something like seeing a mirror for the first time, or like seeing, like, I mean, I know you can see like your reflection in the water and some surfaces, but seeing like a mirror, like a full on mirror where you're staring at yourself, like, had to have a similar experience. You're like, that's what I look like.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even though you're actually seeing a flip image of yourself, but that's.
That kind of
different
thing.
So even in a mirror, you're not seeing what other people see.
No, not really. And you're still sort of filtering it through your own perception. But you do see that.
That meme that's like, he's like, yo, you know, I forget what, it's like a percentage. Like, you look way worse than you think you do. Like if you look good in the mirror, like, to other people, you look worse. Like, oh, that's comforting.
But like,
you're like, oh shit, I already thought I was ugly.
You can see that sometimes with like babies when they make the connection to their reflection the first time, or even like puppies. Sometimes puppies will like will look into a mirror and be like, "What is that other thing over there?" And so you can kind of see what that kind of external shock might have been like, you know, even now in you know, people that have never experienced it before, or animals that don't really know what's going on, but. It must have been really, really shocking.
So now I wonder if you have a dog and you record it barking and then play it back, does that dog know it's him? Or is that dog like, oh, there's another dog out there? Or is he like, oh shit, that's me?
I don't know really if they can recognize their own bark. Maybe. Like, our dogs will react to like dogs on TV. Like, they'll hear dogs on TV and they'll think that their dog's like just outside the house or something, and they'll start barking at the dogs that aren't really there. But I don't know. But that's a different dog. And so I don't know if dogs would react to their own bark if it's like, if they know that it's them, or that they know it's another particular dog that they know, or if it's just a sound. I mean, there is the thing that we have now that we've never had before, that, like, you know, used to people would say, like, dogs can't see TV. And that used to be true, because a dog can't see an interlaced TV because their brain doesn't put it together, and the, like, frame rate of their vision is different than ours. And so they would see, like, just the lines and never be able to put it together into a whole image. But now,
that's interesting.
With current TVs that are progressive scan, the whole image is on TV all at once, dogs can see TV. And so, like, sometimes dogs will look at the TV and see something interesting or see another dog or a cat or something and, like, look at it. And you can see they're, like, they don't know what it is because they don't understand that it's a TV because they don't know what a TV is. But they do see it, and they do have some, like, I recognize what this looks like, but they don't really.
Yeah, to them it's like probably like a window.
Yeah. And so that it's interesting.
I liked in the movie he tried to Edison tried to make basically tried to make the term Westinghouse. He's like, as we Westinghouse this horse.
Yeah, he tried to make it a verb. Yeah, which
like,
the
can we use that? Can we keep that and use that as a verb?
Well, the for a time the electric chair was referred to colloquially as a Westinghouse. That fell away after a certain time, and we don't really have that as a conscious thing anymore. I think probably the closest like broad term for the electric chair that's not the electric chair that we have is because it stopped being used almost everywhere like years and years and years ago, except in Texas, where they still did use it for a time. I don't think they still do now. But the famous one that was in Texas still that was continued to be used was nicknamed Old Sparky. And so the Old Sparky as a generic name for the electric chair was somewhat commonplace, at least in certain areas of the country for a time. But we lost the Westinghouse nickname some time ago. But
you know, it might sound weird, but like if I could get my hands on, you know, like one of those retired Old Sparkies, that'd be a really cool collector's piece. Not that I would have it connected and functional, but can you imagine just having that somewhere? I mean, like the history behind it, and it'd be interesting.
Well, they do, it's like some of them do still exist. They have them in various museums, and I think there have been some private people who have collected them. Because they used to be sort of like, it is strange that it started as this like, oh, this is a humane way to take people out. And then they tried it the first time and it turned out that wasn't true. And it never became true. It was always bad. It was never the just like, you just die and it's
well, they didn't,
and peaceful, and like they never really made it better, but it continued to be.
Well, they
used
never
for
showed
years.
That guy. They didn't actually show it happen.
No, they just give it to us in the newspaper, and they just the Tom Holland's character describes it to us sort of, but the director talks about how he actually knew someone who was like not killed with the electric chair, but who did die by being electrocuted. And so he was years ago. And so he was very conscious of that when he was making this movie, where he was like, well, if I like, how do I deal with like showing people and horses and stuff be killed by electricity and have it not bother the family that I know of this person that was killed by electrocution?
Be like, yo.
And like, how do I deal with my difficulty with this and show it in like an impacting way, but not be overly graphic and not be insensitive to people who have died by electricity. And so it is like the guy that dies in the electric chair is mostly done in first person and in a still frame on his face. And we know that it's happened. And the horse, they go right up to the moment and then they cut and we see it being dragged away. And so we know that it's happened. And the guy that works for Westinghouse, we see from outside the building. And so that you know it happened, and you're still affected by someone just died right here. But you don't have to show them being, you know, burned to death or have you experienced the burning hair and stuff by proxy, by seeing how terrible it is.
Yeah, and so like he basically inadvertently invents the electric chair and using AC voltage. So I mean, I know he's trying to create, you know, a human death out of it, but he ended up finding basically a practical use for the AC voltage that he was against.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what some of the other characters tell him is true, that he mostly is against AC because it's the one that he didn't pick. And he's trying to justify right. that it's wrong like. Because it's the one that he hasn't chosen. Because once Edison picks something, that's the right thing. And it's not really... And what Westinghouse and Tesla says is true. Like, you can't get the transmission distance or the amount of power without it being much more difficult to generate. And so alternating current was the right choice. It just wasn't the Edison choice, and it's right for certain things. You know, we come from like a film production end of things. And when you do production that you need electricity and like lights and stuff for near a body of water, you use a DC generator, not the AC generators that you normally use, because it's safe. If a cable falls into the water, it doesn't kill everybody like it does if you use AC. So it's still used, and you can't have an AC, you know, double A battery like that. It doesn't work. The physics don't work. And so there's a place for both, but for the large scale, long distance transmission, you know, multi-building use from like a single transmission point, it's much better to use AC and step it down as you need to and stuff.
Yeah,
to get
the electric there, because I mean, most of the stuff everybody uses at home, I would say a lot of it runs off DC, but it's converted.
Yeah, that's why you have.
But to get the power there, it makes no sense to send it that way.
No. And you can convert. And that was the thing that it took them so long to figure out with getting the sewing machine and whatever other things to work, where you start at a high voltage and amperage at the transmission point, but then you step it down and get to something that isn't going to just, you know, you can't put 50,000 volts into a sewing machine. Like it's not going to work.
You could,
and so just having the substation and transformer network idea just took a while to figure out and to get to.
Now, see, that's something that, like, while I was watching this, I guess because, like, I do know a little bit of the whole Edison, Tesla, like the whole little shebang, like I already know a little bit. And it's just like, for someone who was trying to look so far ahead, like, God, it just feels like he was incredibly stupid not to like come to the conclusion that, hey, well, if they're beating me at this game, I can beat them at their own game. And my, like, how hard would it have been for like Edison to just like sit down and figure that transformer business out himself, where he's like, hey, I'm going to take his stuff and I'm going to make it even better because my ideas are better than his ideas, and I'll have it both ways, and I'll just push him out because I'm Edison and I'm right.
I mean, if he would have listened to Tesla, see, that's probably the most frustrating thing of the movie, and I guess probably the whole situation realistically is, I mean, every single person doubted Tesla, which probably because he was like an immigrant and they were like, oh, you don't know anything. But I mean, was his pitch bad? Like, I want to know what really happened. Like, I wish I could be a fly on the wall in the room, because he clearly seemed like he could basically say, okay, you're going to, like, I could use the AC and basically give you both of what you want. And he's like, no, bye, get out of here. You suck.
Yeah.
And he was a dick to him and he left. And I'm like, dude, that if you would have kept him on and listened, you would have dominated everything.
Yeah. And that's the thing that kind of gets me. It's like, for someone who is supposed to be so smart and so businesslike to make so many bad decisions almost constantly, it kind of surprised me on like, how did you even get ahead if you are going to act this dumb to a situation that you know that just by accepting it, you can get growth out of it? Because, like, for some people, I would say profit, because that would be the driving factor. That's something that we do get in this movie. You know, like, that's something that Nikola had to deal with a lot, It's like he had all these ideas. He just needed time and money to actually get them to work. And then people are over here being like, well, we're just going to take all the stuff that you came up with and we're going to just use it to make money. Because, you know, that's the real current is the currency. And it's just like, bruh, if you're driven by money, I think that's fine. If you're driven by the fact that you want to be right, I think that's fine. But it's just like, once you get to a point where you're always wrong or you're not doing making that profit, like something's got to change. And everybody else figured this out except Edison. And then it's just like, oh, well, let me do all of these now horrible things because not only am I a jackass, I'm also somebody who was considered to be smart, but I'm actually an idiot.
Well, but what, even with all of that, Edison is still the name we remember. Like, we still have, like,
that's what I don't understand.
Is still a company and there are still Westinghouse products and... But he got what he wanted. He wanted like the legacy of the technology to be what endured, not his name or his personality as a person. And that's what happened. And like what it says at the title card at the end is true, that he burned all his papers, and that something it doesn't say that is true is that he hated being photographed and tried really hard not to be photographed, but he couldn't avoid it sometimes. So we do have pictures of him and his crazy mutton chops and mustache and stuff. But he didn't want to be remembered the way that the character in the movie says.
But see, that's the thing, is like, maybe 30 years ago, he could be like, yeah, this is what I wanted. But it's too late now.
Well, no, but I mean, like, Edison, we do remember Edison as a person. We don't remember George Westinghouse.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, George Westinghouse could be a great person who is wonderful. We don't know, but that's fine, because we're always going to look at Edison and the stuff he's did and just be like, you know, Edison, you were kind of a cunt. We're glad that we have all these other people over here who did what you could do, and they weren't bad people. So it's like...
What I don't understand is we never... You know, in school growing up, you learn about, or supposedly learn about, these things. Why is it that all we learned about was, I mean, I remember Edison and like those people. Like, I don't remember learning about Westinghouse or even Tesla. Like, you would barely hear the name.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you know about Tesla because the Tesla coil. But then apart from that, you don't really know. And so, which I think adds to his like legend as being this like guy that had all these great ideas that was like suppressed somehow by various people or the government or something. And
futurist.
Well, I mean, it was suppressed. It was suppressed to the point of, I mean, we never learned about that in history class. I mean, they never focused. People would do projects on, you know, oh, the inventor of the light bulb, Thomas Edison.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but like
I am
the real pioneers of this were Westinghouse and Tesla, really.
Well, like
I actually
didn't learn about Edison in school through history. I only learned that it was like he made light bulbs in science class when we were learning about electricity and then like how light bulbs would actually work. To like a fundamental level, but it wasn't like,
well, and
it wasn't a historic thing, because like we never did anything past like 1700 something. It's just like, oh yeah, like we're not even to World War One yet.
He's
not
used
even close
motivationally with his like, I didn't fail, I just found 10,000 ways to not make a light bulb. Like, you see that used as a quotation on notebooks and classroom posters and things. And so like we sort of understand him that way, I think, maybe more than we do. Because I think the other things we don't, you know, we know because we learned about film history that he at least thinks that he invented the motion picture camera and did a great deal of trying to suppress other people from using it without paying him directly. And that's part of why we have Hollywood in California, because it was far enough that we could learn that the Edison goons were coming on the trains and hide the production before they got there to destroy the cameras and shut the production down, and also the weather. But
like, as far away,
most people don't know that. I think we mostly think Edison invented the light. You know, Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. Edison invented the light bulb. We don't know who invented the telegraph. Most people, and then like Steve Jobs invented the iPhone, and like that's the amount of technology history that we know. That's what most people have.
Yeah, but he. But you only learn about stuff like that whenever they, if they did teach it in school or they went over it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have liked to know as a kid, like, oh, this own, he tried to sabotage Westinghouse and, like, killed a horse and, yeah, you know, like, we didn't learn about any of that, and that's real stuff. And then you
fried
get older and you learn it, and you're like,
awesome
but
to learn in school. Well, the thing that
yeah,
we do are...
But instead, they... you get a base of knowledge that's,
yeah,
like, very, very loosely based in fact. Like, it's very, it's like cherry picking the good stuff when, like, he did a lot of, like, dickish shit.
Knowledge.
Well, I mean, that's always... I mean, what you find out when you get out of school is that you didn't really learn very much in school. Like, you learn, yeah, like, especially historic... Like, you learn, you know, maybe how to do math, but maybe not even that well, depending on who your teacher was and how they taught it. And so a lot of times people end up in college being like, oh, that's how
shit,
math
the practical
works.
Learning but you, in, like... public school ends at about fifth grade. Everything past that is fucking pointless. Like, you need basic math because they're not going to teach you the stuff you actually need, like, you know, like banking stuff with percentages, interest, simple, all this compound interest. They don't teach you any of that.
Yeah, because there's no
or real
life
anymore. Skills, unless it's an elective, which means you have to choose it, and that's only if your school supports it. So for the most part, the basic stuff. The math that, okay, if I have $5 and this is $10, I need two of these fives. That ends at about fifth grade.
Yeah.
The rest is fucking pointless.
I wonder if, I mean, of course.
I actually learned that stuff in school.
I haven't been to school in a long time, but, like, I remember learning how to, like, write a check in school and,
yeah,
you know, things like that. And I don't know.
No, they didn't. I mean, the school I went, like.
Your school
in
sucked.
My, you know, well, in my 12 years of public school.
Yeah.
Nothing practical was learned in that. Like, the way I learned about, you know, interest and stuff.
I wish
I
could. I
actually did, but that was because
apologize.
I was taking higher level math classes.
Uh-huh.
But the basic classes, no. And then the shit they do teach you, all this complicated, like, find the whatever, and the crazy shit where you have these giant formulas. I'm like, I'm not going to be a rocket scientist. I don't need... to
I
know
can't
any of
be
this.
A rocket scientist. I can't do this. that was where
right.
I
like
was
so. Please,
at. Like, I could sort of yeah. like I can look at when other people do like big math and science and be like, okay, I kind of understand what you were going for there. I can't check it. I can't prove it, but looks okay to me. Like that's now.
Well,
I
like,
will
why
say,
am I sitting
the hardest
in a calculus class?
I will say, the hardest thing that I ever did, and I always describe this to people as the hardest thing that I ever did, is when we were living in the second apartment in college, which you may have heard us refer to as a historical era for us, because there's first apartment, second mm-hmm. apartment, and then everything after that's variously categorized into different things. But once Cloud and I had moved in together about a year into college... sometime during that period, I can't remember exactly when, Kenny was having some, like, we had watched the first Zeitgeist movie, and so Kenny had a bunch of questions about, like 9/11 related discrepancies. And so, like, I went into this, like, giant diving, like, I'm going to look at everything that anybody's ever said and watch all of the, like, bogative, like, loose change type stuff. And I'm going to really dig into, like, everything that people possibly think about this and disprove everything, like, firsthand and, like, put this to bed. And I did the actual, like, algebra and physics and whatever else there was to do the proving the impulse calculations that the thin aluminum of the outside of a jet airliner did have the mass at the velocity that it was traveling to damage the, like, structural external part of the buildings of the Twin Towers and make the holes that they did, because that was one of the fundamental, like, this can't happen. Because once you get past that, then you can start to deal with, like, warping steel in the beams because of the heat of the flames. You don't have to actually melt anything in a, like, thermite kind of way. You just have to make it weak because there's 30 floors of one square block buildings made out of mostly concrete that are only being supported by a central pillar that it doesn't, it's not that hard to believe that it can collapse if it just starts to, because it's a giant, inconceivable amount of weight that we're not good at visualizing the actual scale.
Well, here, I can do one for you on that.
I did the math, and it's the hardest thing I ever did.
I can actually help you visualize this. I've been thinking about it, because I've had to explain it as well. Yeah, okay, so you have to take yourself, and then you have to take 4 times your weight, put it on your shoulders, and then stand on one leg while someone comes and tries to push you over. And then if you don't buckle and you just tip over, okay.
Still counts.
But you're going to buckle.
But you're going to buckle, yeah.
Because, yeah.
That was a very specific time you were to use that math, and there's no way they're preparing everybody at school to be like, you know what?
Like days.
At some point, to do like you may have to prove something wrong.
It was a single, like it was a one like regular size piece of paper of calculations to do it, and it took me like 4 or 5 days to do, because I was like working through it a piece at a time and like watching videos on how to do this particular kind of math and trying to work through it. And like, maybe I didn't get it wrong, and maybe Bush did 9/11. I don't know. I tried as hard as I could, and it was hard.
I actually wish I could have my phone background change to like Bush smiling and giving a thumbs up like twice a day at 9/11. That'd be hilarious.
But see, you were able to, when you needed it, what you were going to learn. That's the thing. They force all this stuff on you, and why are we doing like anything above, you know, addition, subtraction, and some fractions and whatnot, which, I mean, again, we're on fractions and not the metric system, but that's a whole other conversation.
Even though dollars are technically metric.
Yeah. I just don't, don't understand.
Like, we don't use metric in America. Dollars are base 10. What about that?
Yeah.
Although I have difficulty thinking in metric.
I mean, that's halfway admitting that it's smart.
I know. Well, I'm
really good at numbers, so I can't stand with y'all on any of this.
We're gonna get back. Well, Kenny's better. You're both better at math than me, at least of like certain kinds. Like I can do business math. Like I can do your taxes. I can figure out percentages. I can do You know, I can do accounting math. But then when we start to do like when we start to get into algebra and calculus, trigonometry,
like all that shit, like, is super easy. Like I have no problem doing it.
Like it starts to get like it becomes taxing,
which is fine if like you're good at it and you want to do it, then great. But
can you stop being jealous of me and my ability to look at triangles and just know things?
Triangles, how does it work?
I mean, we're trying to get Illuminati over here. All right, well, I need that X-Files. I need X-Files playing.
Triangles did 9/11.
Yeah. But you know, that's what I think about when I think like see movies like this that are based on, you know, older things that happened in history, and I'm just like, man, even though it's a movie and I know it's dramatized, there's a lot of little like truthful details or little nuggets in there that I'm just like, why wasn't that taught? Why don't I know these certain things? Why do we focus on these other things? It literally, the more I learn, the more pointless the 12 years of public school becomes. Because I'm like, literally, I mean, other than social skills and dealing and like dealing with people, and if you go to public school, you know, you have poor kids, you have rich kids, you have people from all over the world, and you get like a kind of like a little micro like sample of the whole world, so you get like cultural exposure and stuff like that, and but other than that, the actual like book work and stuff that you learn really just means nothing.
Well, like 3/4 of public school, and a lot of it's
inaccurate.
Kids can have some.
I mean,
place
fuck.
To
I
be
learned Pluto was a planet, and then shit. We keep going
Pluto
back and forth on that.
Was a planet at the time. We learned it was true at the time.
Isn't Pluto a dwarf?
That's
planet
what I mean.
Now?
Yeah, but that's not a real planet.
That's like we kind of want to keep it, so we call it a dwarf.
I think that is the, like, we heard our voice outside for the first time in the 1880s. Like, Pluto isn't a planet anymore is, like, the biggest public betrayal of our generation.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we
it's kind of messed up that they call it a dwarf planet, and they're like, it's not a real planet, it's a dwarf planet. Like, okay, so, like, you know, there's people that are...
Yeah,
like, it's like saying not they're not real people,
it's just dwarf
like,
people.
Are you saying like, they're not real people? Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Well, but it really, you know, like, not, there's a, okay, so... We're going to get, I have actual things to say about the, like, the physical, like, nature of this as a film, besides just the historical nature of it, which we've spent, I don't even know how long, because we've split this into two.
Well, if it wasn't so much, like,
but there, this is half thing, of what the show is for, is just, like, the movie is a basis for conversation. Yeah. But, like, there was a series of video games, PC games in the 90s, mostly in the 90s, and maybe they carried on into the 2000s, that were like school subject here blaster, and there was like math blaster and science blaster and
oh yeah,
like, and there in Science Blaster Junior, the I think it's the 2000 release. There are like several songs that you can have like on, presented on a screen that are about various scientific subjects, and one of them is about the solar system. And the opening line of the song is, "We've got 9 planets running around the sun, running around, running around." And that's not true anymore, because there are now 8 planets and a dwarf planet, and maybe like 3 or 4 other things that are out there in the general Pluto neighborhood that are also not full-size planets. And so, and maybe there's another planet like somewhere else, like in between here or there, that they're still trying to decide what to call.
I just kind of feel bad for Pluto. You know, it's out there, it's just doing its best, you know, but, you know, there's people here just judging it because it's small.
Well,
science has proved.
What was, there was a, you were saying like old games. There was an old game that I remember when I was a kid playing on the PC. It was a bird's eye view war game, and you were either the Soviets or the Allies, and you had to what is it?
It's Red Alert. It's one of the various Red Alerts.
Red Alert, yes, Red Alert.
The U.S. and the Soviets, and you had like they changed the names, but that's what it is.
Yeah, Red Alert.
Right, and you had the
Crazy Ivans. You had the
Tesla.
Yeah, yeah.
The Tesla coils?
Yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
You want to talk about some good turrets right there?
And people would get near it, and it would just like shock them.
The corner, you know, because you want to put them on top of like a higher point so they can get good range. And then, because a lot of the enemies, they'll either try to attack it first. You have like small troop units that are like bunkered down on like the side of it, so they get protection from any range of fire. A lot of the times, you're not going to run into mobile mortar or artillery. Except for tanks. The tanks don't really fire at an arc. And so you could have them set, and any time your map would flash for whenever your enemy was attacking one of your Tesla coils, you could have them come around, use anti-tank weapons on them, and the Tesla coil would just take down the infantry by itself. Or after you take over one of the enemy bases and then explore their technology, you could get the terror drones. And oh boy, the terror drones are so fast. I would have like a unit of terror drones on the other side of the map where the opponent couldn't get to it because they wouldn't focus on it. And I'd just let them sit there, and then I would build Crazy Ivans, and I'd have just like 20 or 30 Crazy Ivans, and I would literally have them run into one another at the enemy bases because the terror drones were so incredibly fast, and the Crazy Ivans would like suicide bombs, and they would just like smash into each other, and like the explosions would just like chain react. And so it's like I didn't even have to worry about the enemies because the enemies would focus on the terror drones, but they're so stupid fast that they slam into the Crazy Ivans and just wipe out the area of the enemy base.
All your bases belong to us.
Yeah.
Also, what I said was wrong. In the Red Alert series, it is they do actually say Soviets. In Command and Conquer, they changed the names, but it's basically the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I remember, because I didn't even know what that was. I was you know, younger playing, and I'm like, I don't know what Soviets are. I was just clicking it, building the army men. You put the little tents up, and you could have like the special ones and the basic ones, and they just like pump out clones the whole time.
You could put out the water units. And make laser dolphins.
And you have the spy plane that opens up.
Do
you remember the feeling?
The troop transport that hovers over water and goes to land.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but do you remember the feeling when you'd send the spy plane out and it would finally like light up over their base?
Yes.
Because you'd keep sending it out and it'd be like green, green. Oh, it's just grass. And then you'd hit the base and you're like, yes.
Well, see, like the nice thing is there's a certain point where
if you know all of the maps from the multiplayer aspect of the game, that you'll know where all of the bases are pre-generated. And so you just have to know at what location it is going to actually generate. So you only have to send out one plane in normally one direction, and then that just narrows it down. The thing is the spy satellite, because that opens up the entire map. And you send your infiltrator in to, like, steal the plans, and then once you get it, bam, the map is no longer blacked out, no Shadow of War.
It's open, boys.
I played a lot of Red Alert 2.
I didn't play it that in-depth, but it just, that was my first, like, thing that I remember, the Tesla coil. I'm like, oh, it's that thing that, you know, shocks you when you get near it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I had a buddy who thought he was really good at it, and then when I got my hands on it, I was like, I'm going to beat him and be, like, the best. And so, like, I got really good for a period of time. And then we just dropped it and went back to playing Diablo 2 with mods.
Hmm.
Yeah. Also, I'm trying to think of what else about the movie. So was the whole whole letter thing that was true too, where he sent the letters and was like, "Oh, burn this."
Yeah.
But I'm going to put my initials on it too.
Well, I really like the he says on the phone, like, "You were supposed to burn them," and they were like, he says, "They were letters from Thomas Edison. Like, you're a big deal. Like, I have a letter from Thomas Edison. I can't just destroy that. Like, I have to collect it. It doesn't even have an autograph on it, but I know it's a letter from Thomas Edison, so."
But, like, he could have just not put his initials either and been like, that wasn't me. But you fucking put TAE.
Because,
like,
he was arrogant.
Yeah.
Arrogant.
Like, burn this. I am going to take ownership, but, burn, like, even though you know it's going to be burned, you somehow have to put your name on it. Like, what a jackass.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And he just refuses to give up. Like, everybody is telling him this is wrong, and he's like, no!
Yeah.
One of my notes was, fuck Edison.
I'm just thinking, why didn't anyone put a hit out on him? I mean, it's like...
why did somebody just kill Edison?
Yeah. It's like, it's not... Because that was one of the things that in the movie is like, if you want to be remembered, kill a president.
Edison did 9/11.
And I'm just... I was going to make that joke, but I was like, nah, that's not going to be that funny. And then
I'm several things behind now, but I just have to say, like... said that. Also, which is what everybody says.
Would you like to know more?
Guys.
Yeah. I'm doing my part.
Independent study.
The one thing, I guess, about the movie itself, other than focusing on a lot of historical stuff.
The sets are amazing.
The sets are amazing. The costumes are amazing.
The acting is, like, amazing.
The acting is amazing. Mm-hmm.
I think, though, for me, what I noticed was I was kind of confused on, like, the timeline.
You can suck it, Downtown Abbey.
Well, I mean, the timeline is...
Because, I mean, I know they're not going to put a card up that's like, 4 weeks later, here's Tesla. Like... But
there were a few times they gave us the year.
There were. And one of the things that I do like that they do, even though it doesn't tell us, like, I really like that they do, it doesn't tell us exactly when we are historically, but it does show us where we are for story purposes, because they have this map that, like, Edison has in the laboratory where he, like, screws in the light bulbs to, like, see of different colors so he can see whether he has that city or Westinghouse has the city. And then they use that as the transitionary device to tell us both how many cities they have, where we're like, oh, look, they just got a city or he just got a city. But then also when they travel from place to place and they want to tell us we're in this place rather than just showing the skyline of the place that
they
we
show
can't
us
recognize
the map.
Because it's 1880, they show us the map and then they're like, oh, look, Chicago. And then they show us Chicago and they don't have to put a title card up.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you know, if you listen to the show for any amount of time, the, like, show recognizable place plus title card telling you where you are is one of the
shoddy
things that bothers me and seems like a hack job of a thing. Although in this case, I don't know what 1886 Chicago looked like, so it doesn't tell me. You have to tell me.
Yeah.
But doing it in a creative way rather than just doing it with a title card is very
appreciated. I also like the character introductions where they actually show us and they like,
oh yeah, they're like, oh look, like, here's this
guy.
This
is so-and-so and this is like the tagline form. Yeah.
This guy, title.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, oh, cool. It's like, just something generic like Tesla, futurist. It's like, I guess. Because like, technically he's not an inventor because a lot of the things he just imagined and he never actually constructed. Because he was put down by the government, people will tell us.
You know, sometimes after, you know, Stark dies and Spider-Man has to work from somebody, and, you know, and Doctor Strange, you know, he happens to know some stuff in New York.
That is the thing, they start working together.
And I'm just like, I wonder if they're friends.
The thing here is, this was shot in 2016. So this is before Tom Holland was Spider-Man. And like, in a way that we had seen. So, yes, it is Spider-Man and Doctor Strange on screen, but it's before, like, he was already Doctor Strange by then, but he was not Spider-Man yet, so it didn't really count. But we do have this relationship now. Although he's playing way older. Like, he's still playing, like, a younger guy compared to Edison. But he's playing a lot older. Like, he's, like, 16 or something at this time, isn't he? Because isn't he, like, barely, like, 19 or 20 when he starts playing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
So he's playing really further up. They give him a mustache, which one of the things that I did want to say is if this was the mustache war rather than the current war, Edison loses immediately because he's the only person in the movie without a mustache except for like women.
Yeah.
So, which is true historically. Edison was always a shaved guy or maybe a guy that just didn't have a beard or a mustache. I'm not sure whether he did it deliberately or not, but everyone else has a mustache or more. And so, like, Edison wins Westinghouse wins the mustache war immediately. So, although J.P. Morgan has quite a mustache as well.
Bruh.
In addition to his nose.
Not a bank. Yes, you are.
What's wrong with his nose?
Which plays for us in our period of time differently than it would have if someone actually said it to him. Because, like, literally, J.P. Morgan is a bank. Even though he was just a guy with a lot of money at the time.
Yeah, but no, now it literally is a bank.
It is a bank. Which actually, it's been a bank for so long that now it's a bank that's been acquired by another bank. Because now Chase owns J.P. Morgan, although they still put the J.P. Morgan part first because it has the historical value as a name. But one of the things that I also enjoy about this, like the story structure of it, is that they keep showing us these guys that, like, you know, Edison invented all these things and has this company, and Westinghouse has this big company, but they're both always on the edge of going out of business and like out of money and having to borrow money from other people, and so we think of them as these like big, like robber baron tycoon rich guy types, but they're always right at the edge of being broke. And we're continuously reminded of it. And that's, I guess, true for most of history. You know, now, like, you're Jeff Bezos and, you know, have, I don't even know how many billion dollars because it changes all the time. You know, Bill Gates or something. And you make a lot of money, you know, pretty quickly, and then you're pretty safe even if your company goes away. You know, Microsoft could have gone away in, you know, 1985, and Bill Gates still would have had a fair amount of money. Not as much as he would have after, but still, like, he wasn't going to go hungry. And, you know, maybe Westinghouse wasn't either, you know, in an absolute kind of way, because he's still like, my company will go out of business right here in your hotel room, depending on what you say. And then the staff comes in and is like, he hasn't paid his bill. And he's like, how much would it cost to pay his bill for a year? And so it's like, oh, so you're going to go out of business, but you still have some money.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't really understand what the scale is. You still have that giant sofa on your private train.
Like disbelieving squinting eyes.
Which... is this a train movie?
Oh, that was my first note! That was my first note! I start this movie and it's a train, and I'm like...
train movie?
I think this might be a train movie.
Which, I mean, it isn't structured around a train, even though Westinghouse made his fortune off of his air brakes. before he went into electricity, and they do lean on that a little bit early. When the first time you see Westinghouse's name is in like the first 5 minutes of the movie. Like you see it on Edison's train when they're traveling in the first scene before we've met Westinghouse. There's like this like flowing shot on Steadicam by various elements of the train, and you can see the Westinghouse Air Brake Company logo on the brakes on the side of the train.
Well, see, when he doesn't stop and Pope adds, it's like, I wonder if his brakes are messed up.
Yeah.
And he goes, No, they're not messed up.
Because they're our brakes.
Yeah, like,
and we, I know what the hell brakes. I'm doing. Which then later Tesla comes along and says, like, it's a smart design of brakes. Like, I understand how you made your brakes, and I approve, even though I'm in electricity.
You can still be smart and have a specialty. I applaud people who know stuff.
Well, but I didn't play the thing at the beginning, because this is a, like, can we class? It's not, like, it isn't based on a train. It's not structured around trains. We see trains a number of times, but it's not about trains. They weren't trying to electrify the train.
If at one point they ever brought that up, where it's like, hey, we're trying to get electricity on trains, then this would 100% be a train movie.
So you heard,
and I would fight both y'all.
You heard the regular, and then we'll have to sit on your shoulders and see if you buckle. So you didn't. You heard the regular. This is at the beginning, not the train drive by one, because it's not like an absolute obvious thing. Although I can't remember whether we cheated about Inception or not, but because that's sort of the inception of the train movie as a concept to like internally reference there. But we so it doesn't quite get it, because it's not about that. They're making light bulbs and electricity. They're not making trains. Because Westinghouse didn't manufacture trains. He just manufactured brakes for trains. And he didn't have his own. There was no Westinghouse Railroad Corporation incorporated or anything. It is kind of sad. Watch, even though Edison is a dick, like when we come back to him now and then, and he's like, "What?" I mean, I guess we actually kind of have. Watches films of dead wife cliches,
yeah.
/ listens to gramophone recordings of dead wife cliches.
We haven't quite made the footage catching. We ain't quite there yet, boys.
Yeah, it's not quite watches videos of dead. We haven't combined. We don't have sound for film for a while. Hence, so. But it is basically that. But it is kind of sad that he's sitting there and being like, I'm trying to, which the director also says that he there's this running theme through the thing of this, like, Westinghouse is just trying to do stuff. And Edison is trying to, like, capture nature. It seems like that he was always trying to, like, grab a hold of, like, some, like, giant force where he's like, I'm going to put, like, light in, like, a glass ball, or I'm going to capture sound, or I'm going to, like, capture image. And so there's just, like, you know, this like, you know, sound and light and, like, power. Like, I'm going to capture these things. And in a different way than, yeah, I know, gotta catch them all. But
no, I was thinking of AC/DC.
Well, let's see.
Yeah, because you have light, you got sound, got camera.
Uh-huh. Let there be drums. Yeah, I do also have...
They're
AC/DC!
Not.
It's Jason Bourne.
Because I look for any excuse. But yeah, I mean, there is this capturing this thing that is going on, and he keeps coming back to these things. And just that first time he's just, like, turning the crank, like, listening to that, like, the last time that she spoke that he has any capture of. is kind of sad because, like, he's a bad person, but he's still sad. And so it dissipates fairly quickly once we see him being a dick again. But,
well, see, I think.
Yeah,
you're like,
oh, man. And then he's being a dick again. You're like, oh, whatever. No,
well, see, like, that was the point that I was making at, like, the very beginning of this, where it's like, hey, I know he was a piece of shit, but it's like just trying to look at this movie objectively and trying to see him as the character that he's supposed to be, portraying. It's just like, okay, you're supposed to, like, I don't think it's sad. Like, normally I would, but it's just like the fact that it shifts so frequently, and we know that he was like this before the sad, pushes me out of it. So, like,
and after the sad. Because I'm saying the electric chair before the sad.
Well, no, I'm talking about, like, he's still a dick before the wife dies.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. It's before and after.
Yeah, and so, like, that's the thing. Like, so, like, she's not even dead yet, and anytime they try to make him look like a good, sympathetic character, you know, like, when he's wanting to play with his kids, or, like, oh, I managed to get this deal, and, like, oh, the family, like, even with that, like,
he did build the fence, though. We do see it behind him.
He did, but that's a guilt
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm not giving him any credit for that. You know, it's, but that's just it. I'm not saying it's their fault, the people who made this.
No,
overall,
it's just
no,
true.
Because yeah, it's true. But that's the thing, is like, even if this was completely fictional, as a character, they do such a good job of making him look like a dick. That when it comes to him being sad, they don't do a good enough job making me feel sad for him.
Yeah.
It's like they succeeded so far in one direction that when they try to tug me the other direction, I'm just like,
well,
bruh.
How much do they succeed in showing us that he's a bad person, though, and how much is that we know Edison was not a nice guy?
Well, see, that's the thing, is like, when
they do show him being variously unpleasant to various people, yeah. But he's not, like, we don't see him being, like, outright evil, and there's
more that
we know about him that isn't present in the movie at all,
yes.
Because they just don't focus on it, or it happened later.
Exactly. That is very true. It's just... like that, like that's the stuff that I try to push out. Where it's
we don't
like
even see him electrify the elephant, which is the famous thing, like, which the director talks about, that like it seemed like an extra thing that we didn't really have to see. And they do reference it here and there, and there are various elephant elements here and there. Where sometimes there's
like nothing stops
like
the elephant. Yeah,
yeah, and there's a statue of an elephant in like Edison's house, and you do see like one of the like. One of the like multi-frame film things of an elephant like walking along in that little montagey bit that we get there in that transitional period.
I wish we would have seen the running horse.
Well,
it was him who did the running horse, right? Like he did that for a bet.
I don't remember if it was actually somebody else paid for the bet. I think I can't remember if it was him that was actually doing it. It seems like if it happened in America, it must have been because he was being very controlling of the film technology.
Oh, I never finished my hit comment. Go ahead.
Hit.
Like it's
oh the,
it's
the
like
take him out.
Yeah, it's not even 1911. Like someone could just shoot him in the back of the head in his own home and then fade away. And no one would know who killed, you know, Thomas Edison.
Yeah.
It was Spider-Man all along.
Well, I mean, that is often the thing about people who are a big deal and who are widely disliked and who are maybe causing harm to other people, that it is kind of a surprise that more people aren't assassinated. Because unless you're the president or something... you're probably not that well protected. And, you know, it was only like 30 years before this that Lincoln was the president and still got assassinated. So,
well, and back then now it's a lot easier to get caught. Back then, I mean, there was no surveillance cameras. The forensic stuff wasn't really a thing. Like, it was way easier back then.
I mean, me and you, two horses. We know where he lives. We're going to go the long way around, do a little camping out, clean up after ourselves just in case, you know, some kids come out here wandering, trying to play in the woods.
That fence he built isn't that tall.
It's not that. It hasn't even been built yet. His wife is still out there. And so we're going to wait for sunset whenever some of these people go to bed. We're going to stake his place out. And then I think that's him. And we're going to break into his house through the window where he can't hear us because no one's got home security. I don't even remember seeing a dog. And so I'm not even going to shoot him because someone will hear the gun go off. But I snuck across that field. No one can hear the horses. And I'm going to slit his throat and jump right back out. And no one will be the wiser until someone checks on him because his wife's woken up because he decided to work in his shop that's like across the yard or something. And he's already cold and no more Edison.
Yeah.
And we galloped away.
But the thing is that even in the modern time, when it is easier to get caught, like
to do bath salts,
they're still dead.
Yeah.
So like you still, even if you get caught, you still kind of solved the problem. And if you're of the assassinating kind of type, then it seems like maybe that's probably your goal. Like, you just stop, you know, you nip it in the bud. Like, you stop the problem right there. It is mildly disappointing that we don't see very much of the World's Fair.
Yeah.
But I know it's just because they didn't have the money. Because this was not a very expensive movie. And they
spent all of it on the sets and the costumes.
Well, actually, they spent most of it on the few visual effects shots of we have to look at the outside of 1890 Chicago. So, or 1886 Chicago. Sure, costumes are expensive and sets are expensive, but there actually weren't very many sets. Most of it is not sets. Most of it is either like very minimal sets or places that they found to use and just dressed sort of. And so that they did it actually very cheaply, even though it was being paid for by Weinstein and Scorsese. So it's not an expensive movie. It's a $30 million movie. So there's recreating the Chicago World's Fair is not, even in Tomorrowland, where, you know, it's a big time expensive movie, the amount of the World's Fair that they show there is still fairly constrained because like these places just don't exist. Like the director talks about that. Like, we have to show Chicago. Chicago doesn't, like, there's nowhere to go. You can't, there's...
Chicago doesn't exist, guys.
No, there's, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino wants to make Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and there's, like, fake. You can go to Los Angeles and, like, make sure you don't show a Starbucks, and, like, some of it still looks enough like it that you can sort of redress it and put up the old signs, and it's not that much different. But 1880s, anything, is just not in the world anymore. It just isn't there. So if you want to show it, you have to make it. You either have to build it, or you have to CG it, or you have to do something.
Isn't it like that one country over towards Europe that doesn't exist? It's all a lie.
Finland?
Finland, yeah.
Well, Finland just doesn't exist at all. It didn't stop existing in the 1800s, and you can just go film there. It just doesn't exist. So there's even that doesn't really help you.
So, like, if you want to get around it, all you have to do is say, no, this is based in Finland. Nobody's going to check.
Because no one can.
You'd be like, no, seriously, it's Finland. Nobody's going to be like, no, it's not. I was just there.
No, you weren't. So way back in May of 2014, it was reported that Ben Stiller was going to direct the film.
Wow.
But that didn't happen.
Does he do that?
I mean, yeah, he does. And that's not what happened. But what did happen instead happened. And in the electric light of what happened on alternating currents, how do we feel about stars?
Oh, let's see. Visually, like, it was great. I liked it for the movie part of itself.
I'm so disappointed that there's only a DVD because it's, I want a Blu-ray of this because it looks so good.
Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, I mean, it's the whole based on true events type thing that I'm always skeptical about them and, you know, hoping most of it's true or at least based in as much as they can and not too over dramatized.
Wait, before you say it, in our last episode, Austin made a comment about me and him having like the same score all the time. So I wrote it down. Yeah. I wrote it down and I'm going last. So it's like both y'all are going to get to say y'all's numbers and I've already got mine set and ready. So go for it.
It's so hard because I'm struggling with the number because when something's based on something that's true, sometimes it can be kind of boring or something because you can't stray too far from it. You can't like dramatize it too much to try to make this huge like peak and whatnot because you are trying to root it in something that's real. So
it's real.
But I mean I'm also interested in the whole dynamic of you know that time. So I have to give it 3 stars because which I think I end up using 3 a lot.
Well, it's basically the middle of our scale because we have an uneven numbered scale.
And that's kind of the way I feel about it because I'm like, I like it for the fact of what it is and the visuals and whatnot. I'm a little skeptical because it's based on a true story. And while understanding that you can't stray too far from it, you know, it's not that it was boring. You know, it's just when I see stuff like that, I kind of just want to see like as true of a documentary as possible with, you know, documents and stuff that backs it up in fact. And because like when I learn stuff and retain it, I want it to be real, not, you know, something inflated. Like I don't want to think of the movie 20 years from now instead of fact and be like, oh, he said this. Like maybe he didn't say that. So. But I liked it because I'm interested in that whole kind of subject, so I'm gonna give it 3 because it doesn't go climb so far to the top that I'd be like, oh my god, I'm gonna go watch this again. But at the same time, I'm not regretting watching it, so I think 3 is justified here, even though I am fully aware that I've used 3 a lot.
I can't remember what you said last time. I think it was probably higher than 3.
I think it was.
I think you're probably, or maybe it was 3. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah.
If you've never done a podcast, go and do a podcast, and you'll very quickly realize that you forget almost everything that you say once the show is over. It's like writing. Like you write something, and then it's out of your head, and it's really hard to recreate.
You're like, what was it last time? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, and people tell you, like, oh, you said this, and then I'm like, I guess, I don't know. I said it, it went out of my head, I don't remember. And I edit the show, so I hear a lot of it again. I've recently been, like, re-listening to some of the older episodes, and I actually have a question for Kenny after we get through this segment that's based on listening to an earlier episode that we never followed up on.
All
right. I think that I like it a bit more than you. And I think that it's very well made. Like everything about the like madeness of it is well made. And I don't know about some of the history of it yet. I will report back after having read the book. But it's also because it's mostly like in candlelight or like early light bulb kind of periods. Lots of it is in amber tones, which I appreciate as a color of light in a, probably an unfair amount compared to the other people here. And also I'm like, I don't know, like were either of you aware of this existing until I suggested that we watch it?
Yes.
Okay.
I knew it was made, and I knew it was supposed to come out. I just didn't know that it got pushed away. And so, like, the fact that it had just recently came out, that you had brought it up, like, that's one of those things where it's like, hey, I know this movie.
It's out?
Yeah.
I thought he was supposed to go to theaters.
Well, and technically, then it was just like, it did apparently release in about 1,000 theaters in October last year. But I was not aware that it happened.
Yeah,
and
neither
it seems
did
like
I.
It did not happen close to us, because I would have noticed, because I had wanted to see it. We saw the trailer when we got it at the theater and we're like, I want to see that. And then it never came out. And I was disappointed. And so like I had been waiting for this.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things that I knew it existed, but then kind of forgot it existed because it just nothing came up with it. Because, like, it wasn't, but I hadn't thought about it until I saw that, and I read it as the current war, like, a war currently happening.
Yes.
Then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, the current war.
Yeah, it's not the current war, it's the current war. And so, like,
the emphasis is on current, yeah. So.
You have to put the emphasis on the correct syllable, so. You do have to know what it is, because otherwise you might think that it's like Charlie Wilson's war or something, where it's a bit about Afghanistan or something. And so you don't really know. But so I had been waiting for this to come out, and so that it came out and it was good, maybe is like weighing a bit on it, where I'm like, oh, I really wanted to see this and it was good. And so maybe it's like feels more good than maybe it actually is. I don't know. That was a thing that happened. I'm gonna leave that into.
I'm hearing
that. That's really major. The microphone just fell off the stand.
And the rat
everybody.
Goes down.
he's down. I'm gonna say 4. Because it didn't just flatten me totally dead, but it's, I think that it's a fine movie, and maybe it'll knock down a peg after I find out that it's mostly bogus, if that turns out to be true, once I read the book. I don't know.
That's why my skepticism is what drove my score down, because I'm just like, I don't know if I believe this yet. So it could go the other way. If it's all fact back. And they're like, look, no, these are literal quotes, then I could be like, okay, maybe 4.
I mean, just the 1880s, it's unlikely that we'll have evidence of actual quotes, so even if the events are mostly true. Then I'll be
bring me
satisfied.
The cylinders with the actual recordings on it.
You know that we have a cylinder with Mark Twain's voice recorded on it. There's only one, but it does exist.
Really?
We know what Mark Twain's voice sounds like. He sounds like when people do Mark Twain impressions. Like, that's where it comes from. People are doing that, like, high-pitched well, Colonel Sanders offset thing. Like, that's what he sounded like.
Well, impressions are called impressions for a reason.
I know, but you just kind of, like, look at Mark Twain, and you're like, he looks kind of like Colonel Sanders. I'll just do a high-pitched Colonel Sanders voice. And it's like, no, that's what he sounded like. It's weird.
And you're like, my God.
Great Scott.
Yeah. All right,
science
all right.
Science has proved that this is so.
So that means it's my turn.
Yeah. 1 star.
Oh, God. Like, God. Okay, so you got your wish. My rating is, in fact, different. But it's like...
I don't want it to be different.
It's different.
I just feel like we're being Mike and Lenny, and we're just agreeing, and they're going to write one of us off the show.
No, the thing is, it's like, my reasonings are different than both of y'all's, and almost the opposite of Kenny's. Which I think is hilarious because...
You're not at all skeptical?
No. Here's the thing. I actually know, like...
You're just like, this is fact.
Like, what I know of, like, the whole, like, Thomas Edison bit is...
Would you like to know more?
Probably, but I know quite a bit compared to what's actually presented in the movie. And so that does kind of raise some questions where it's just like, well, what was directly changed because it needed to be for the story purpose compared to like what they just didn't cover at all. And so there's a lot of stuff that I would know that was just not involved in the movie, which I think is great because that kind of helped me look at this movie as a movie instead of based off of historic events.
I guess it's just movie shit.
Yeah, and so with that, I give it high scores for the fact that one, every set is amazing.
Everything about the production is amazing.
Like, just everything that was put on camera is almost perfect. But the story itself kind of does bore me for the most part.
There are things in it where I'm like, hey, that's cool. Hey, this is entertaining. I enjoy this. But at the same time, I'm just like, okay, what? Like, whenever Francis Pope died, I'm like, I like Francis Pope. And this motherfucker got electrocuted. And I'm just like, all right, well, that kind of kicked out some of my, you know, motivation. All right. I like that dude. He was kind of cool. You know, and it was like, little things like this where it's like, I know it wasn't the production that I have a disappointment in. I feel it is the actual, here's a cinematic story that we're trying to show you. And I'm like, I kind of got a little bored with some of it.
The Edison Westinghouse Cinematic Universe.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they're not making any money off of that. And so I'm giving it a 3. Because I think it's like...
So you didn't agree with me. You agreed with Kenny.
Well, I'm saying, yeah.
I mean, you didn't agree because you have different reasons.
But. Yeah. But I think that was the thing is it's like the stuff that I agree with you on and the stuff that I disagree with Kenny on, give it a Kenny
there's
score.
There's balance in the force.
Yeah. It ended up being some balance where it's just like, hey, you could take... Like, that's why it's like you can shove it Downton Abbey is because I hate Downton Abbey. It is literally taking everything they put in this movie and then just making it like the Days of Our Lives. And that's all it is.
These are the Days of Our Lives.
That is like, and they're British. that I hate it. I hate that show. It drives me crazy. I've watched like 9 episodes. I think it was like 9 episodes around season 2, season 3. And I just wanted to rip my eyes out. I hated it so much. but that's the thing. It's just like you have a semi-compelling story. There's a few directions I wish they would have put in a little bit more work, but it wasn't relevant. And because the stuff that I know didn't kind of coincide with what they were telling, it worked for me. So I'm just going to give it a 3.
Okay.
You are justified.
Mm-hmm. And those mustaches.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The mustache cannon.
Now you can't. Now if you have a mustache, people just think you're a creep.
Well, but depends on the kind of mustache.
I think it's how you wear it, I guess.
Yeah.
Or how your face looks.
Yeah. I think you have to have the right face. It's not really the mustache's fault. It's your face's fault.
Yeah, it really comes down to the rule of just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah. Although I think I'm the only one of the two of us, the three of us, that has, like, that doesn't. Well, I don't know. Do you currently have a mustache as part of your, like, face thing that's happening, Kenny? You have at various times.
I mean, I recently cut my own hair.
Yeah.
And I had not.
I think that was only the top half of your head, though.
No, I mean, my hair, it was long. I did a 6 on the top, and then I faded from, like.
No, but I mean, like, guard. I don't think I could see your beard in it.
Oh, I'll send you the before picture. Because, like, I had not.
I gotta scroll back.
I had not. I literally had not even trimmed the beard. Since mid-October.
Oh, you do have... I can see your face in the, like, hey, I lost weight picture. And you don't really have a mustache. You kind of have the beard still, but you don't have the mustache.
Yeah, I'm bringing the... I did shave the mustache off, so I trimmed everything down, but I'm bringing the mustache just to blend
it is your
in
whole
with...
Head. It is your whole... For some reason, I thought it was just the half top of your head, but...
Yeah, yeah, but did you see... I don't remember. Did I include the picture, the before picture?
No.
Oh, I'll put that in there. No, I looked homeless. I mean, literally, imagine not trimming your beard for, what, October, November, December, January, February, March. For almost, you know, close to 6 months, not trimming anything. Because, like, that's when I realized how fat I was.
I've never even been 6 days without shaving.
Well,
so.
See, my thing is, like, I normally, like, trim it once a week.
Yeah, but like, you still have, like, a thing happening.
Yeah, like, I've got a beard, and I hate my mustache. And so,
sometimes you take it off.
And so, like,
it's
well,
there.
Well, sometimes, okay, so, all right, since we're talking about facial hair, like, what it is I have, like, the sideburn chin strap kind of thing, and then I have the hard goatee, I have the mini soul patch that's connected to the goatee, and I have a mustache. And these are like the main areas of hair that grow. And so roughly once every 5 days or so, I will take an electric razor and I will trim my mustache as close as I can, just quick swipes, and then be done with it because it does grow back really, really fast. And then for like the side chin strap looking stuff, I'll cut that off about once every 10 days or so because it will get a little bit unruly. And then I will, over a period of like a month or 2 months, I will trim down my goatee and shorten like the hairs that grow on like the soul patch area. And that way I kind of keep it contained. But because I haven't been able to get a haircut because I'm like a month and a half past due,
We're gonna fix that.
Yeah, I haven't shaved at all except trimming my mustache, and that's it.
Like immediately after we finish this production here, I'm gonna cut his hair. So
yeah, so like once I get a haircut, I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna take a good shower, and I'm gonna shave as much. I'm gonna even trim my beard down to like half of what I normally do. You know, just get a fresh, clean kind of look on me because I'm kind of looking a little unruly.
So you kind of had the Justin
before. The what?
You kind of had a Justin before.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't grow it as thick and perfect as his shit, but that's pretty much that. I put another picture in there like that.
Yeah,
you can kind of see the that God, was what I was dealing with after.
If I
it's fallen off the top of his head and landing on his chin.
If I'm gonna leave this in, I've got to put these pictures up with the episode, if that's okay. Otherwise, I have to cut it out. So.
Whatever, I don't care. As long as I get the after picture where I look halfway not homeless.
Because if you go to the website, there is a picture of the four of us on the front of it with our names underneath. Because we're not trying to be like secretive and make you imagine us and then have the wrong idea if you ever happen to see us.
I am thick.
But it's from like it's like this. It's like your shoulders down to barely below the neck of your t-shirt. So like you can't really tell.
I have like the perfect dad bod.
but all of these pictures are old. Like Cloud's picture is like the one from lighting class where there's like the blue on the wall behind you and you're kind of like looking off. It's the like only
actually,
picture
that's,
I without
that's from photography
I had,
class.
Even older.
It's it's from October of 2010.
Mine I think is the newest one because I took the picture that's there where everything is black and white except my head and my necktie. While we were living in Jacksonville, but then Kenny's is the picture that we took for our headshots on our like 16mm project submission documents, and that's like my curtain in the first apartment behind him.
Yep.
And then Kate's is one of her like acting shots from the like when she lived in New York period. And so they're all way old. They're all like 6-year-old pictures or 10-year-old pictures in the case of Kenny and Cloud's. But if you look at the picture of Cloud, the beard is pretty much like what it is now. He has more mustache at the present moment while I'm looking at him than he does in the picture, but the beard is basically the same shape as it is. And the hair is actually a like shaggy, I need a haircut hair, basically like it is now. So it's pretty much what he looks like right now that picture.
I only get like a haircut like 3-4 times a year.
But Kenny has like almost no beard. It's just like you have that like dumb little soul patch thing that's barely even there. And the rest of it is just like, I didn't shave today or yesterday, but I'm not really doing a real thing. And so like, it's not at all what Kenny looks like in the pictures that we'll put up. So, what is this face you're making in this picture in the backyard? Like you look like. Why are you taking it? You look like Westinghouse. Like, why are you taking a picture of me? I don't approve of pictures.
that was just me looking at the camera.
Huh. It's
me sitting on my back porch.
Okay, so I'm going to do a thing, and then I'm going to ask the question after I do this thing.
The Ultimate Limited Extended 20th Anniversary Next Week Collector's Diamond Edition. Wrapped in its own new Millennium Limited Edition Special Collector's Case. On Blu-ray, on Special Edition DVD, on video, and Pioneer Laserdisc. Only for a limited time.
that's still really good. I applaud you on that. That's
I'm really proud of it. It's that and the Back to the Future episode opening that are the two things that I'm still the most proud of in the entire history of the show.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And the opening of the Superman episode, but that's like way down in third. But the I just listened to the Back to the Future episode today, actually, and it still holds up. So get the DVD of The Current War if you don't have it already. I don't know how you watch this. And listen to the commentary, because it's a really good commentary, and he does a lot of like justifying of the things that are, and he deals a little bit with the history of like why things are different than they were now, and talks about sort of what's different between the earlier versions and the disastrous festival version and the version that we have now, and talks about, you know, what they meant and various things. It's a really good commentary, and I enjoyed it quite a lot, and it's illuminating to use an inappropriately pun-filled phrase.
That was terrible.
It was terrible, and I admitted it immediately. But it's a good commentary. But then the other thing that is the question for Kenny that exists in, I don't remember what episode it is now because I listened to it like a month ago, but in an episode years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
In part of a collector's edition, we went around and talked about like collectible editions of things that we'd spent the most money on. And Kenny's thing was that he didn't really have like a DVD based thing, but that you had spent some money on this like commemorative thing that also benefited the foundation, like skateboard magnetic hoverboard Back to the Future edition ramp. And you said, and we said that we were going to put up a picture of it, and then you never took a picture of it, so I've still never seen it, and I totally forgot about it, and we never put one up because one never existed. So as far as I know, it's a fake thing you made up because I've never seen it. And like,
you're talking about the hoverboard thing.
Oh, wow, I forgot that he said this and I never saw it. And yeah, the hoverboard thing.
I will take a picture of it. It is on the shelf somewhere near my neuralizer.
Which we have talked about on another episode also shortly after Hector bestowed it upon you.
It's over there with my, which I hope to get more movie props, but that's how I like to commit. Like, I like stuff like that. Not so much like the collector's DVDs, but stuff from the movie. But my prized possession is the neuralizer. Cause I stared at that for years and just refused and just never bought it. And then now I have it.
But so if you've been waiting like 5 years or whatever to see the picture of the hoverboard thing, yeah.
Someone's like, they never talk about it.
I know. This is what I mean. Like, the show happens and it goes away. And then I'm basically listening to the show almost fresh, especially in the older ones, because I don't remember what we said. Often I'm like, oh, I would say something like this if somebody said that, and then I say something like that, and it doesn't feel like I remembered it. It feels like I would have just done the same thing if we were doing the show again. Mm-hmm. And so maybe that just makes me really predictable as a human. I don't know. but there are
I will take a picture of it this time.
So a lot of pictures with this episode. Like, I'll cross post them like on the Twitter and in the like embedded in the show notes of the episode. Which, because there are pictures, won't actually go away. The video that I embedded from your station's website of like you getting like shot at is a dead embed now. It doesn't show anything because I guess they moved the video on the site or something, so that's not there anymore. But because there are pictures, they will remain.
Yeah.
Although, we have this visual business tab on the website that like only has one thing in it right now, which is the the poster that like Dave and his daughter made for the show that's based on the original Godzilla poster.
Yeah.
And so maybe some of this should go in. I guess the like hoverboard thing at least should go in here, and then maybe the like pictures of everybody's beards should just go in the show.
Yeah.
In the show embed. But it's there are, we have all these tabs on the website that like we don't use very much, but every now and then something goes in there. You know, sometimes we'll write a review, or someone will become our podcast friends, or we'll put up a recipe, or there'll be some visual business. And so like there are things go up on the website now and then, and now sometimes and then. There are things in the show notes besides just text, but not too often, but they're still there. And, we like to be multimedia when we can't be.
That also means that you can find us on YouTube. That means that if you don't want to send us an email, then you can always leave a comment or subscribe, like the video, follow us on Twitter. Links in the description.
Yeah. See pictures of Kenny's beard. And maybe we probably should. I mean, it feels almost like it's just this like preservation thing. But if we do change it, then like that will go into the visual business, I guess, for preservation purposes. But we probably should take new pictures of our heads for the show art, because the ones that are there are not really representative anymore.
What are you talking about? I look the same, except I have wrinkles and my eyes look like I've been punched a lot.
That's true. I mean, you do look really smooth in the pic. Like your head looks real. Your face is pretty smooth in the picture that's on the page. Which, not that you look old now, but you can tell, like looking at it and then looking at you, that it's not just now. But you know, we try to be. You know, we all like the half of the like structure of the show is based on Larry King's "Tell the Audience of the Circumstance." So if we're showing you 10-year-old photographs of our heads, we're not really being honest with you. So I look older too. Probably Kate doesn't, but the rest of us.
Well,
do.
Kate takes care of herself.
Yeah. Hers is the best one too, because hers is like professional and everything is like just right about it. It looks like a professional picture, and the rest of them are just best that I could do. I don't even have those glasses anymore. Those like are broken with a lens out of them on my picture. So, and Kenny's color temperature is like off, because the rest of us are all like a lot cooler temperature, and then Kenny's is like warm, and I couldn't do anything about it, like editing it without screwing it up. So we should have
shotguns.
Well, I mean,
we should have shotguns with this kind of
yeah. The music was really good too. The score was really good. Which none of this is, but I tried to be sort of representative of the feeling. But that's all we have to say about the current war. Or the current war. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Later.
AC/DC.
This is Jason Bourne.